And we just going to keep going down this path, man. And you and I are going to keep talking. And a guy I used to work with called me. He called me, and I was out of town, and I thought something was wrong. I hadn't talked to him in a while. He was an older gentleman, and probably close to 80. And he called me Timbo. Timbo? And I knew who it was. I said, hey, you know, and I called him by his name. And he said, him and the wife, you know, he gave his wife's name, and just saw ancient aliens. And I thought, well, here it comes. You know, he's going to hit me with the little green man and, you know, getting abducted and probed and all this stuff. And he goes, I've never told you this story before. I never told anybody this story except his wife. And he hollered back to her. He said, what year was that, honey? I thought she said it was late 50s. And he'd been in the Navy. And he was on a ship, call him a tin can. I believe that's a destroyer. And they were out in the middle of the ocean, and a sub came up, and they were meeting one somewhere, you know, and they said that sub went down and they watched it fire a missile. They said it was probably one of the first sub underwater missile firings that had happened, because this was, you know, it's not something that we've been doing since the Second World War. Anyway, so he said, after all that, you know, they saw it and they thought, wow, this is wild, you know. And then and they were getting ready to go about their activities, and he said that this huge craft, he said, he described it to me. He said the other thing was two city blocks. He's a country boy, but he said it was two city blocks, and it hovered over them, no noise. And he described it as it pulled up. And he said you could see like something similar to portals or something on the around it. And you know, it was the classic craft that you would, you know, the saucer thing.
A saucer shape, yeah.
Yeah. And then he said just like that, it just disappeared. No noise, no nothing. And they were just
was back in the 1950s.
Yeah. He's like, what the hell? You know, and then when they got back to port, wherever this was, he said they were met, these three gentlemen in suits, you know, the men in black.
Of course.
CIA or one of those military intelligence groups, basically debriefed them and told them, you didn't see anything. This is national security. This is, you did not see anything. And it was, you were never to repeat it, or you could be put in prison. And, you know, and that's, people honored that stuff back then.
Yeah.
They believed, because they believed the government.
Yeah.
They don't now for good reason.
Did it come out of the water?
No. He said because he told me, you know, the old guys will tell you, my mom and daddy were like this before they died. And I don't know how your mom is. You know, you ask them what time it is, and they'll tell you how to make a watch. You know, they give you the whole, all the scenario that was going on around them. And I thought this sub was going to, you know, when he shot the missile, I thought he was going to say it hit a UFO or something, but it wasn't anything like that. And, and I've heard similar stories. I mean, there's no reason for him to tell me that story. He called me out of the blue, and I was, and the detail and the, you know, he's hollered to his wife, honey, what year was that I told you? And I could hear her hollering back to him. So, I mean, you know, all that kind of thing. When somebody's lying to you, you know, they're reading you a script. And I worry about some of these spooks, too. They bring that information in. So they're going to, Tim Burchett, did you hear that crazy story he told? You know, one they just make up.
Yeah.
So that's something, but I get those all the time, brother. And this is somebody I've known for 30 years. His family is, I'm close to his family, and they've been supporters of mine almost from day one. Yeah, and there's no reason. You know, you hear these astronauts tell these stories, and we're still in denial about it.
I know.
The government in some circles. I mean, You got, what's his name? Gordon Cooper.
Yeah, I was about to say, you had Gordon Cooper literally saying a UFO landed on a dry lake bed and they recorded this.
Yeah, and that landing craft came out.
Yeah.
This is, I can't remember the whole deal.
This is an astronaut. This is a national hero. And
this guy, yeah, he never would have to buy a beer his entire life. He'd walk into any bar, man, you're Gordo Cooper. Can I buy you a beer?
Recently, Yolanda Gaskin spoke with Gordon Cooper. In this exclusive interview, Colonel Cooper spoke for the first time on television about his encounters with UFOs.
I've read about this incident you had in 1951, and you said you saw literally hundreds of unidentifiable flying objects.
Yes, they were flying quite high. How high, we couldn't tell because we couldn't get anywhere near their altitude. But they were either very large craft way up or smaller craft still well above what we could get to.
For a day and a half, all of this happened. But then no one wanted to talk about it.
Well, we sent a report forward on it, and the answer that finally came back months later was they were probably high-flying seed pods, which didn't sound very logical.
There are always a lot of excuses. There's always weather balloons. I've heard that one before. In 1951, you couldn't even get close to the things that were flying overhead, you or anyone else that was flying.
They were faster, higher.
6 years later, Cooper again encountered a UFO. This one definitely was not a weather balloon. While supervising flight testing at Edwards Air Force Base, his military camera crew actually filmed an unidentified saucer-shaped object landing near the site.
As they were sitting there filming, a little saucer came from, came flying over their heads, put down three little landing gear and landed right out on the dry lake bed. And they picked up their cameras and started over toward it, filming as they went. And when they got in fairly close to it, it lifted up, put the gear back in the wheel wells, tipped up, and took off at a great rate of speed. And so they came into my office and told me what had happened, and I sent them over to develop the film. And then had to go through all the proper regulations of reporting this. And we wound up having to send the film forward to Washington in the base jet airplane, and I don't know whether anyone's ever seen it since.